4. Matthew 3, in the scriptures before we just read, and it's so good to have our students lead us. Thank you, Reagan, for reading. It's beautiful to hear the voice of God through you. Matthew 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, also translated desert. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. In the person of Christ, the kingdom of God has come near. Now, quoting Isaiah, a voice of the one calling in the desert, Isaiah 40. The readers would have also heard the later verses with their memories, knowing that in verse 5, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed among all people. Where? Not in the temple. Not in the pastor's office. Watch out. The fullness of the glory of God is revealed in the wilderness and in the desert. It is in the wilderness that God takes Moses and places him on the side of a rock and covers that cleft with the divine hand. And the fullness of God walks before Moses in the wilderness. In the desert, Elijah, who thinks he's running for his life, a full day's journey into the desert. It is there that the glory of God, the fullness of God's presence and goodness and holiness, it is there that the glory of God is not revealed in the earthquake. It is there that the glory of God is not revealed in the haboob. It is that you laughed better than the early worship did. And I can't wait to next week tell them how feeble their sense of humor is. It's not in the wind. It is not in the earthquake. It is in the silence of the wilderness. It is in the stillness of the desert that the glory of God walks by. We have these friends in our life that I'd like to call them our wild and wonderful friends. I think those are the two best adjectives for these friends. Do you have wild and wonderful friends in your life? I hope that you do. These friends invite us to dinner at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday. Wild and wonderful. We laugh so hard with these friends. Well, you tell the stories with these friends, your wild and wonderful friends. You tell the stories, no holds bar. Okay, all the details come out with your wild and your wonderful friends. And after a two-hour dinner in which you've been drinking, I've been drinking water for most of the dinner, the wild and the wonderful friends, they go for another round. And then they go for another round. And then, as the server walks by, they casually say, hey, can we just split the check in two, you know, because it's easier that way. So then you pay for your dinner and half of their drinks. Do you have wild and wonderful friends in your life? And after this dinner, they say, hey, let's go to this neat club around the corner. And you're like, come on, it's 11 p.m. on a Tuesday. But you really want to go because it is a neat little club. And this new band is playing there and you'd love to see them. But you're not the wild and wonderful friends, so you don't go. Maybe you don't have wild and wonderful friends in your life because you are the wild. And there's a reason why you're at this church. And you're welcome here, wild and wonderful people you are. Our wild and wonderful friends recently were married, and it was one of those weddings that was a ton of fun, you know. And I was honored to be a part of their wedding. These wild and wonderful friends, they met. Their love story initiated at that Halloween party. You know, the Halloween party invitation that goes out that says you're required to dress up to go. And nobody likes this party. Not even the person who hosts this party. You know they don't like it because next year they won't host it. And this year, our wild and wonderful friends, they met at the Halloween dress-up party, and they fell in love, and they were married, and they had this terribly fun wedding. And at their wedding, everyone got swag. Everyone got these party favors. You know, you got cute little bags. You got koozies. You know what a koozie is? It's for your Diet Coke. Okay? And on all the party favors was embroidered this phrase: No good love story ever began with, "We were sharing a salad." What story in your life that is of any worth begins with, "We were eating a salad when?" They don't exist. No good story ever begins with, "We were all at our desk and doing our jobs and doing everything we were supposed to be doing." Walking through the book of Jonah with some men on Thursday mornings, and on the way out this past Thursday, which educators know this, all the good questions are asked when there's no time left. On the way out, someone says, "Would we even have the book of Jonah if he was just obedient to the voice of God?" No, we wouldn't. Because no good story ever began with, "We were eating a salad." Can a carnivore get an amen? This wilderness, also translated desert, also translated dry and barren land. The wilderness, the desert, is a whole lot less like Acapulco and a whole more like the Llano Estacado. And see, although the fullness of God's glory is revealed in the wilderness and the desert in these incredible moments, it is also in the wilderness and in the desert as we remember that the Hebrew people who've been released from captivity wander for 40 years in the desert. 40 years being a metaphor for long enough for a new generation to rise up, such that it's been so long that the people begin to forget the promises of God. For 40 years they wandered and begin to ask, "Maybe it would be better if we were back in captivity." This is the dry and the barren land. And although the voice of God through John comes from the wilderness, proclaiming salvation for the whole world, proclaiming salvation for all of creation, this voice comes through the desert. It is also in the desert in which we encounter today that Jesus is left without food or fellowship for 40 days. Again, that 40, a metaphor for the amount of time to beat you down to where there's nothing left. Once a year, all would gather in Jerusalem, and they would bring an offering. And once a year, the great high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies with a ram, an offering representative of all of the people. And the priest would take his hands and place his hands on this ram, signifying the transference of all the brokenness and all of the sin of all of the people, and then place that sin and brokenness on this ram. And then that ram would be set free into the wilderness. And this is where we get the term scapegoat. And all of our brokenness, all of our sin would be sent out into the wilderness to be ignored, to be forgotten, to be buried. You see, the wilderness, the desert, although the glory of God is revealed there, it is also no man's land. In the 4th century, Emperor Constantine adopts Christianity as the legal religion of the Roman Empire, and our faith tradition gets in bed with government. And for 2,000 years, brothers and sisters, we've been learning and trying to practice better the separation of church and state, which is best for both. But at this point in time, the religion and the state colluded together in an empirical religion, such that the symbol of the cross became less a signifier of salvation and more a stigma of Roman colonization. And when this happens, thanks be to God, our mothers and our fathers retreated. Retreated from the cities and retreated from the empire and retreated to the desert, to practice and preserve for us the mystical and the contemplative. Don't let those words scare you. These are the first monks in Christian history. Also, don't let that word scare you. Monk simply meaning simple one. mystical and contemplative simply meaning the quiet, prayerful practices of our faith. So, Jake, is the wilderness and the desert good or bad? Do we want to go there or do we not want to go there? Yes. Yes. It is a dynamic space in our scripture, in our history, and in our lives. The desert is a place of refuge and reformation. Reformation. The desert is a place of fasting and a place of freedom. The desert is a place of prayer and paradox. Welcome to the desert. This is what Lent does. Welcomes us into the extended quiet prayer. Welcomes us into the extended paradox. Our God in our faith has never been afraid of paradox. Rather, our faith has always given meaning to paradox. It is through dying that we receive life. It is by serving that we lead. It is through poverty that we receive prosperity. Our faith has always given meaning to paradox. Our faith community gives meaning to paradox. We celebrate both birth and death. We honor both faith and doubt. We're here for you and your fun, wild, and wonderful wedding. And we are here for you when it all falls apart at your divorce. Our faith has never been afraid of paradox. So welcome to the desert. In Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, we might say the ministry of Jesus either begins or is preceded by, it's kind of like Star Wars. Which one do you count as the first one? I don't know. Am I a nerd? Yes. Am I nerd enough to know the answer to that question? I hope not. Okay. The ministry of Jesus. Here comes John the Baptist foretelling of the Savior of the world. Jesus then receiving baptism through John the Baptist. Then what comes next? Is not Jesus circling up his first round of students? It's not Jesus displaying fullness of the glory of God with an incredible miracle. It is not Jesus giving you a real sermon that you wouldn't recognize by what you're getting here today. It doesn't begin with a miracle or a sermon. Jesus begins his ministry by being directed to the disorientation and the difficulty of the desert. It all begins with a story much better than Jesus and Satan were eating a salad. It begins in a much harder, a much lonelier space. And the accuser, the tempter, the deceiver offers Jesus a quick way out of the desert. I think so often we're looking for a quick exit from the wilderness, and the accuser offers such to Christ, saying, "Take this stone, turn it to bread, and be satisfied. Receive this kingdom. Receive all of these kingdoms before you, and be glorified. Stand and be lifted up with me," the deceiver says, "and be magnified." And time and again, Christ refuses the quick way out of the desert and says it is not our appetite that feeds us, it is not our ambition that fuels us, it is not our approval that frees us. Hebrews says we have a great high priest who has fully faced the fantasies of the flesh. 2021 adult retreat speaker, here we go. Pete Rollins, philosopher, theologian, says, God is the lack of lack. Now, maybe for your smart West Texas mind, that makes sense. But for this feeble one, whoa. God is the lack of lack. Suggesting that God is complete abundance. Isn't that incredible? However, in order to fully express complete abundance, God also experiences lack. Christ experiences the lack that is offered in the location of the desert. In Christ, we have Emmanuel, God, with us. And in Christ, we have a great high priest who has faced all that we have faced as humans. Christ is also God like us. The story of Adam and Eve that we just read together, in part, is saying Adam and Eve refused the lack. And here we are, standing at the beginning of a new story, standing at the beginning of Lent. Will you receive the lack? Will you receive an invitation to the desert? Are you 8 years into a 4-year degree? Are you 10 years into a 5-year commitment? You may be in the desert. Have you been praying and hoping for children to be birthed in your family and it doesn't come? You may be in the barren land, although you are not barren. You may be in the desert. Are you wondering how to retire? How to transition into this new phase of influence, into this new realm and rhythm of work? Are you taking care of children and changing their diapers and wondering, we used to be the wild and wonderful friends to some people in this world. What happened to that part of us? You could be in the desert. Could you be changing the diapers of your parents now? And wondering, I thought this empty nest thing was going to be more fun. You might be in the desert. If you're asking one of these two questions, who are my friends? What is my purpose in life? I have wild and wonderful news for you, my friend. You are in the desert. And what is all this for? What is all this wilderness for? In the late 1960s, a monk, a desert father, I'll call him, Thomas Merton. In the late 1960s, in the middle of the space race, Thomas Merton says, what good is it for us to sail to the moon if we cannot cross the abyss that separates us from our hearts and from ourselves? The desert is to strip away all the excess that we've accumulated through the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. It is in the desert that we are stripped naked and placed in the side of a rock, only covered by the divine hand, and the full glory of God is revealed to us. It is in the desert, not only do we cross from here to the moon, but we cross into that space in which we truly see ourselves. And if we have truly seen ourselves, we have truly seen Christ. It is then, it is only when we've truly seen ourselves, it is then that you can begin to see those people who sit on the other side of your dinner table. The reason why we're struggling with our family is often because we don't know who we are. The reason why we can't see our neighbors, the reason why they're merely a mirage to us, is because maybe we don't know who we are. The reason why our coworkers drive us nuts, present company excluded. The reason why these people in our lives drive us nuts is because we struggle to know who we are. This is what the desert is for. 2 Corinthians words it this way. Delight in your weakness. For in your weakness you are made strong. In other words, enter into the desert with Christ. It is there, in the desert that we see more than an oasis and we see more than a mirage. We glimpse the fullness and resurrection of all people and all things and all time. Amen. Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, I pray for these my friends, my brothers and my sisters, knowing that each of them carries such a great weight. Each of them in this very moment journey into, deeper, or out of, finally, that great desert. Each of them wondering their whole lives why the whole thing is so barren and dry. As you were faithful, O Christ, in the desert, would you be faithful to these, my friends, once again? Let the desert be a refuge for them. Let the desert be a place of transformation. Reveal once again your goodness, your grace, your living water to our dusty souls. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen.